This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Give it to Turner. Going to the right side at the five. Michael Turner just had it out.
Who to start? Who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw. Look. Fires over the middle. Clock. Rush. Touchdown. Welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
It's Garrett Lynch. And he's got it. It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald.
Ask your fantasy questions. Hear from the experts. And let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek. Guru, Brian Lowe.
And good Thursday afternoon to you. Welcome to the Fantasy Lowdown, Week 13 in the NFL. My name is Brian Lowe here on Patriots.com Radio. One full hour of fantasy football talk, chit-chatting about the news and notes around the NFL that impact you and your fantasy football team. There you go. Get excited. Playoffs are near. It is December now.
Jacked up!
There you go. Web radio. Web radio at Patriots.com. That's the email address, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. The show is driven and dictated by you, fantasy football players who are in our listening audience, which is worldwide, in fact, here on the Patriots.com radio network. And we want to hear from you. We want to know what's going on in your team this week. Some questions on who to start, who to sit. We're going to answer them right here. Are we going to answer them correctly or well? Listen, who really knows? Who knows any of this stuff? It's unpredictable, but we try our best.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
We've had some, We've had some great weekly listeners and emailers who have chimed in, and it seems like most of them are doing pretty well this year. And I'll take some of that credit. No, I won't. I really won't. But I'm just here to try to drive the show along.
Yes, you will.
I guess maybe I will. Jason is around the other side of the glass, and we always kick things off with talking about the B-Low League. The one that's really centered here in Patriots.com. And tough week for me. I lost 97-91. And what was interesting was I was getting absolutely blown out. And I mean blown out. But I had Marcus Colston and Robert Meacham going on Monday night. And while I did think the Patriots would win the game, I also thought it would be a back-and-forth slugfest where virtually every offensive player would get his. And Marcus Colston and Robert Meacham combined for 30 points for me, yet it still wasn't enough. Why? Well, mostly because my starting quarterback was Matt Ryan. It doesn't usually work well when your starting quarterback leaves with a foot injury within the first few minutes of his ball game. So the goose egg right there going up against a team that had Joe Flacco and his 15 points, that was really obviously the difference, needless to say. Had a really good week for my defense, Green Bay, 22 points in the Thanksgiving Day route of Detroit. Of course, team I was playing had Denver on Thanksgiving Day, 16 points. So we already had a pretty good head-to-head defensive matchup there. But Percy Harvin, huge game for my opponent here, and Ray Rice as well. I got a reasonable outing from LeSean McCoy, decent from Bernard Scott. Oh, I should mention, I also had John Carney, who had 8 points for me, and still, 38 points on Monday Night Football. It still wasn't enough. So at 6-5-1, I'm just squarely in the middle of the pack. Really in seventh place out of 12 teams. It's a jumbled mess. Number one team is 8-4 and has pretty much locked up a spot there. But, you know, 7-4-1, 7-5, 7-5, 7-5, 7-5, 6-5-1. Lot to play for there. Now, Jason is squarely in the bottom. He's pretty much locked that up. He's 2-10. Lost, but only by two this week. So a reasonable effort there for Jason. And
I'd like to thank our quarterback for helping me out with that.
Yeah.
I thought going out to dinner Sunday night down in New Orleans.
Where'd you go?
Ruth Chris Steakhouse.
There you go.
But I'm looking at the scores on my phone, and I go, I could win this game. And then, no.
Not so much, huh? Not so much. Well, I had, my quarterback decision every week, Matt Ryan, Matt Hasselbeck. I went with Ryan and stand by that decision going against Tampa Bay. Matt Hasselbeck only got me 5 points going against St. Louis. So, that probably was the difference, Matt Ryan getting hurt. But what are you going to do? That's what happens. I had the choice of a couple Bernards in my flex spot, Bernard Scott, Bernard Berrien. Went with Bernard Scott. He had one more point than Berrien, so could have gone either way on that one. My running backs, LeSean McCoy did pretty well. D'Angelo Williams, only 5 points, but yeah, I was certainly going to start him. My other options to Shard Choice, so that worked out fine. And hey, what are you going to do? It's I started out pretty strong in this league. I pretty much have to win both of my games and get some help in these next 2 weeks, these final 2 weeks, to make the playoffs. Now that's where we're at here, week 13.
So
two more weeks.
Who do you like? defense, Tennessee or San Diego at Cleveland or Indianapolis at home against Tennessee?
There's no defense in the league I like better this week than San Diego, probably, with the possible exception of Cincinnati. The San Diego Cleveland is it doesn't get much worse than Cleveland. They've really got no offensive playmakers. Brady Quinn not really stepping up. San Diego's defense is really the number one defense this week. And if I look at the rankings I have here, very trustworthy rankings from Greg Rosenthal. No, he's got San Diego fourth. He's got the Eagles defense at number one against Atlanta without Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is out for this game. Michael Turner possibly as well. So I guess that should be in consideration. And then Steelers against Oakland, Bengals against Detroit, Chargers against Cleveland. I would put San Diego number one. And then I'd have Bengals, then Steelers, then probably the Eagles. That's just my opinion. I think I guess maybe what other rankings might take into account is San Diego on the road, but give me anyone against Cleveland in that case. No question about it. So if you have San Diego's defense, I think you're primed for a pretty good week. Thursday night football tonight is the Jets and the Bills. Now, putting fantasy aside, this obviously AFC East battle. Patriots and Dolphins are on Sunday. And in this case, the Jets are 5-6. Bills are 4-7. If the Bills win, that probably helps the Patriots put both of them at 5-7. And then just you can pretty much cancel both of them out. If the Jets win and go 6-6, I guess technically they're still alive. So probably better for the Patriots if the Bills win, but really doesn't matter a whole lot. And then as far as fantasy implications, what's interesting in this game, excuse me, is that Ryan Fitzpatrick has taken over the reins at quarterback from Trent Edwards for the Bills. And Terrell Owens has been having a couple of his better games these last couple weeks. So you got to figure that Terrell Owens having a little late season surge here, coincidentally or not, Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. That's an interesting one. Mark Sanchez, I've been a little banged up. Thomas Jones having a good year and is probably going to have a good night tonight. Certainly want to know any of your questions leading into this game. If you have some topics to discuss as you're getting ready to set your lineup, just about 4 hours and counting before that game is kicking off. Quarterback situations around the league this week, four of them of note to me. Atlanta, Matt Ryan out. Been officially declared out, so Chris Redman is your starter. Going against the Eagles, not a good matchup at all for Chris Redman, who wasn't terrible last week in his jumping into the lineup when Ryan got hurt. But nothing too special there. Carolina looks like Matt Moore is going to be in for Carolina this week. It's technically, I guess, officially out of Carolina going to be a game-time decision. But listen, if Jake Delhomme is still on your roster, you're not going to want to start him anyways. Matt Moore, what do you think? Is he a guy worth having? I mean, he was okay. Not great fantasy numbers, but okay a couple years ago when he got in there. It looks like Moore is getting most or all of the practice reps. One interesting thing is how does this affect the wide receivers? Steve Smith, it hasn't been going well for Steve Smith with Jake Delhomme in there. Maybe this is good for Steve Smith. And what's also interesting is that Dwayne Jarrett, Musa Muhammad, D'Angelo Williams, they've all missed practice time this week. So very interesting. Do you own Matt Smith? Do you own Steve Smith? Would you want to start him? Is it better to start him with Matt Moore in the lineup than Jake Delhomme? An interesting one there. And then also as far as quarterbacks, Arizona, Kurt Warner missing the last game. Arizona and Pittsburgh, Kurt Warner and Ben Roethlisberger missing time with concussion head issues. Matt Leinart stepping in, Dennis Dixon stepping in. You've got to figure Matt Leinart has some pretty good fantasy value if he plays because of the wide receivers in Arizona. Dennis Dixon, not so much. He wasn't terrible. He didn't lose the game for them necessarily against Baltimore. Hard situation for him to be jumped into against Baltimore in prime time. But you don't really feel as though Dennis Dixon has a ton of value. Ben Roethlisberger probably coming back for Pittsburgh as well. Webradio@patriots.com. That's our email address. Going to get right into some of the emails right now. We've already got a bunch. First one, this is from Todd in Jackson, Wyoming. All right, B-Lo, I'm leading my division by one game and have two remaining games left, all against division opponents. I must win out. Here are some of my questions for this week. I have to play three wide receivers out of these four. Andre Johnson against Jacksonville. Roddy White against Philadelphia and their number 9 pass defense. Of course, the key with Roddy White is, as we've mentioned, Chris Redman throwing the ball to him. Steve Breston against Minnesota and Kenny Britt against Indianapolis. Obviously, Johnson starts. Now, which other two do I start? White has Redman thrown to him. Breston is a solid number 3 when Warner is playing. Will he play? And Britt seems to have new life with VY throwing to him. I would have to say at this point that Steve Breston is my odd man out. And here's why. Andre Johnson, as you said, he's a must start. Roddy White, I think, is still a must start, even with Chris Redmond in there. I think Roddy White's that good. I think it hurts some of their other guys. I wouldn't go too deep on the Arizona, on the Atlanta wide receiver depth chart, but I think Roddy White's still a must start. And Kenny Britt, to me, he's becoming the top target for Vince Young. Vince Young is throwing the ball a lot more than probably anyone could have expected, and he's a hot hand. Steve Breston, you know, the third target for Atlanta, for Arizona, going against Minnesota. And, you know, when Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald are both on their game as they are now, you know, it just hasn't been week in, week out. You can't really count on Steve Breston to get enough touches. So if I have to make this decision, I'm going Andre Johnson, Roddy White, and Kenny Britt. Stick with the hot hand right there with Kenny Britt. Next question from Todd. I have two tight ends. Pick one. Kellen Winslow against Carolina's number three pass defense. He's also on the injury list. He was limited to 2 points against Carolina in week three. Or Jason Witten against the Giants' number four pass defense. Witten's production has fallen way off, but he's still a very talented tight end. Thanks for the advice, Todd and Jackson, Miss Jackson, Wyoming. Todd, I'm going to go Jason Witten on this one narrowly. I think Witten is just the better option. You know, he's got a foot injury, but apparently he's fine. Obviously, a better quarterback throwing him the ball. I think Witten's your guy right there. I think Kellen Winslow, you know, he hasn't had a terrible year. He's been, I don't want to say a bright spot. There haven't been really any bright spots down there in Tampa Bay. But I'd go Jason Witten in that case, Todd. Thanks for the email. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address. Next up, we've got Cormac. Cormac in Ireland. Hey, Brian, hope you're well. Two things I wanted to ask you. Firstly, a roster question. Jamal Charles is available in one of my leagues, as is Robert Meacham, Nate Burleson, Chris Chambers, and Fred Jackson. I feel I should pick up Charles, but I don't know who to drop. My team is quarterbacks Romo and Hasselbeck, running backs Maurice Jones-Drew, Pierre-Thomas, Donald Brown, Brandon Jacobs, Clinton Portis, wide receivers Larry Fitzgerald, Sidney Rice, Vincent Jackson, Braylon Edwards, and Devin Hester. I'm tempted to drop Portis, but he could come back and be decent at the end of the year. Also tempted to drop Donald Brown, but I have this feeling that a die may be rested if the Colts clinch home field advantage, and then Brown could be a good play. One point is that we only play two running backs and three wide receivers, so I'm probably going with Maurice Jones-Drew and Pierre-Thomas most weeks. Anyhow, what do you think about all this? And also, should I pick up any of the other free agents I mentioned, and who would I dump? I think Jamal Charles is a great pickup. A great pickup, Cormac. He's got Denver this week, not a bad matchup, but then two tremendous matchups for Charles. Going against Buffalo, the 32nd ranked defense. That's worse than the league. And Cleveland, the 29th ranked defense in back-to-back weeks. So you've got three straight weeks here leading into the playoffs where Jamal Charles would be pretty good. I actually really like, I think you can make a case for any of those five possible pickups. You know, I think Jamal Charles would be number one there. I kind of like Fred Jackson down the stretch a little bit as well. Now, as far as your wide receivers, you know, Chris Chambers, to me, it's been amazing what kind of run he's on here in his first couple weeks as a Chief, but I feel like that's not going to last. Nate Burleson, good but not great. Don't really like that. That offense is kind of sliding these days. And then Robert Meacham, I picked up in my league, and he's had a couple of really good weeks for me. But, you know, it's kind of a toss. You know, you play Robert Meacham because you feel like on any given day in that Saints offense, any given player is going to have a big week, like we've seen the last couple weeks and like we saw against the Patriots. But, you know, it's hard to bank on him each and every week. I think Jamal Charles is your guy. Now, who do you drop? Well, I think Clinton Portis, you could probably drop. I mean, I think if Washington's season is spiraling, and you know, there's probably not going to be much reason for them to play Clinton Portis a lot of minutes, a lot of carries down the stretch. Donald Brown, I'd probably hesitate to drop. He's got some injury issues, but like you said, you know, I think when he's healthy, he could be a factor. I think Braylon Edwards is a guy to consider dropping, to be honest with you. Just hasn't worked out there with the Jets this year, and I don't see it really turning around this year. I think for Braylon Edwards, first of all, his drops are obviously a problem, but then for him to really be a part of that offense and really make an impact, I think he's going to need that full off season. So if I were you right now, I'd pick up Jamal Charles. I'd probably consider either Portis or Edwards to cut. And to me, I mean, it's probably Portis because, you know, you start your three wide receivers. It's Fitzgerald, Rice, and Jackson, but you need at least those two in case you're in a pinch. And then running back, yeah, Maurice Jones-Drew, you're going to start every week. Pierre Thomas, probably going to start most weeks, but I think you could use a little bit of depth there. That's what I'd say there, Cormac. Second question from Cormac is an interesting one. Looking toward the playoffs, I heard some of the analysts on ESPN talking about the importance of picking up a handcuff to your star running backs in case your star running back goes down at playoff time. For example, if you had Adrian Peterson or Thomas Jones, then you should pick up Chester Taylor or Sean Green, as you're guaranteed they'll get you decent points. While the idea of handcuffing isn't unique, they actually were saying there's no point having a strong bench. Better you have your key running back spots filled and handcuffed. For example, if you have Peterson and Thomas Jones in your two running back spots, there's no point keeping players like Pierre Thomas, Lawrence Maroney, etc., but instead dump these guys to make room for the handcuffs. Do you think this is a good idea? It seems odd, as you'd be dumping good running backs to get people who rarely get any points, but does safety come first? Cormac, it's a great question. I could go both ways. I think having handcuffed guys is good, but if your handcuffed guy is not as good as a player who's starting for his team, why not have that guy starting for his team? Think about it. If Adrian Peterson goes down and you don't necessarily have Chester Taylor, but you do have Pierre Thomas, well, Pierre Thomas is a good guy to pick up. He might not be Adrian Peterson's backup in the NFL, but what's the difference on your team? As long as you have a good quality backup, whether it's a handcuff or not, you've got to have that guy that can step in. I mean, if Adrian Peterson goes down and you have Pierre Thomas on your bench, Pierre Thomas is a guy you could step in whether or not you have Chester Taylor. That's how I feel. I think there's value in having the handcuff guy, but it's not pertinent. It's not vital. Wondering, Cormac, though, what your situation is. If you've got, guys you're trying to debate, do you have a Sean Green available? You have Thomas Jones and you have a Sean Green available. You can pick him up. It'd be interesting to know. But certainly, I don't necessarily buy the fact that you need to have handcuffs. If there are good players that you have a backup running back, then that's fine. Okay, and Cormac says, thanks, Brian. Sorry for the rambling questions. Oh, my girlfriend apologizes for beating poor doctor by 2 points. Couldn't believe she won.
It happened.
It did happen. Doc had a 12-point margin coming into Monday night's game. Brady had Brady on his team with Maroney and her team. Maroney goes and gets 20 points. Brady gets 6. Quite hilarious, really. But those are the life and, times. The life and times of doctor's medicine. You're listening to the Fantasy Lowdown. Web radio at patriots.com is our email
address.
Everyone
sucks but me.
There you go. Webradio at patriots.com. That is our email address. A very interesting article I came across on ESPN.com, their fantasy football page. This is by Nate Ravitz, talking about a really interesting subject, one that Patriots fans have seen twice this year. Here's what Nate says. If you made a list of the most important players in fantasy football this season, you could name Aaron Rodgers, Chris Johnson, and Reggie Wayne, and countless other fantasy studs, and no one would argue the point. But what if we told you that one of the most important players didn't have a passing attempt, carry, or reception all season? Crazy? Meet New York Jets cornerback Darrell Revis. In the first season under head coach Rex Ryan, the Jets currently rank second in the NFL in total defense. One of the core tenets of their scheme this season has Revis shadowing the opposing team's best wide receiver all over the field in man-to-man coverage in what's become known as Revis Island. That may seem obvious, but for all the hype about shutdown quarterbacks, in quotes, the majority of teams don't deploy their best corner the way the Jets do. Most keep their corners on a preferred side of the field or otherwise adapt to their existing scheme. In recent matchups against the Patriots and Carolina Panthers, not only has Revis switched sides of the field to match up with Randy Moss and Steve Smith, he's even lined up in the slot just to stick with them. Goes on to say that with a chart showing that the Jets, the top receivers the Jets have faced all year, their production has gone down when they face the Jets. And it is true. If you look at this list here of who Darrell Revis has gone up against, week one, Andre Johnson, 2 catches for 24 yards. Week two, Randy Moss, 3 catches, 21 yards. Week three, Justin Gage, not an elite receiver, but 3 catches, 28 yards. Week four, Marcus Colston, no catches. How about week six, Terrell Owens, 1 catch, 11 yards. Week 10, Mike Sims-Walker, having a breakout year, no catches. Randy Moss in week 11, 4 catches, 29 yards and a touchdown. We all saw that game. It was, the touchdown was big, but Moss's impact was certainly limited. And week 12, Steve Smith, 1 catch, 5 yards. So the question, of course, is how closely do you look at the opposing cornerback and the matchup that one of your wide receivers will have when you're deciding on who to start in a given week. It appears as though in the case of Darrell Revis, you know, one game, two games might be quirks, might be a coincidence. 12 weeks in the season and the top wide receivers, not a single top wide receiver has had a big game. You know, the most was Ted Ginn Jr., I guess, in week five. Two catches, 57 yards and a touchdown. The most yardage and tied for the most touchdowns anyone has had against Darrell Revis. Now, personally, I don't look closely. I look closely in general at the opposing team's pass defense. You know, have they allowed, you know, very few touchdowns in team terms to wide receivers? Rarely do I actually look at the number one cornerback on the opposing team, who we might line up against. It's an interesting question. Nate does a good job here outlining, you know, really giving a chart here on exactly what kind of production and how much, you know, every week the top wideout on a given team has quite a significant amount of points below their season average going up against Darrell Revis. It's really fascinating. Darrell Revis, probably the best cornerback in the league, and the question is, how much is he impacting fantasy football? Nate Ravitz on ESPN.com says quite a bit. We've got a bunch more emails to get to here on the Fantasy Lowdown. Webradio at Patriots.com is a way to get in touch with us. Plenty of time to get your email in over these next 35 minutes. We will get to it, look at a few other rankings and a few other topics, and it might have a studio guest as well down there towards the end. This is the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com radio.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted,
what?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan!
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America NA, member PIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. and is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. The game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown. Patriots.com Radio. Coming your way every Thursday here on Patriots.com Radio. Football game tonight, Jets and Bills, just about 4 hours away. Get your lineups in order pronto. Send me an email if you have lineup questions. That's what we're here for. There you go. Darrell Revis, who we were talking about earlier, going up against T.O. perhaps. T.O., having a good little stretch here. Couple of notes on a few players, you know, as I go through box scores and games every Sunday. Cincinnati running back situation. Cedric Benson looks like he has practiced a couple times this week, which means that, you know, he's probably, it looks like he's probably going to play. And, you know, going against the Lions, if he plays, it's going to be a big week. Now, if he doesn't play, of course, if you picked up Larry Johnson, you were happy last week. But I really do think if Cedric Benson comes back, it obviously diminishes Larry Johnson's appeal. And Bernard Scott battling an injury, too, when he came in and had a pretty good week 2 weeks ago. Atlanta's running back situation. Michael Turner got hurt a couple weeks ago, missed a game, came back, gets hurt again. Looks like, you know, certainly if he plays, Jason Snelling doesn't have much value. But I think what if Turner doesn't play, whether he does or doesn't, I think Jarius Norwood is an interesting guy who, you know, kind of hit or miss, one of those hit or miss guys. If it's a game where he gets enough touches, you just sometimes don't know going into a week. Looks like in Houston, Steve Slayton, Chris Brown now are pretty much splitting carries, which is an interesting one. I've really been confounded by Dallas. You know, Marion Barber, Felix Jones, Tashard Choice, they all had almost exactly the same number of yardage last week, all in the 60s, but Marion Barber had the most carries. That's one of those teams where, you know, if you're in a pinch, I mean, you could start Choice or Jones and maybe get by. Very hard to say. Very hard to say week in, week out with some of those guys. Back to the emails we go. Jeremy says, well, this week is the rule of twos. I'm 8-4, and I'm in first place in my division by two games over two different teams with two games to play. The problem is that I play both teams and would lose two tiebreakers, division record and overall points scored, to both teams. In order to avoid being mocked and compared to the 2004 New York Yankees, please give me a hand. All right, well, Jeremy, let's try to help you out here. Need two running backs out of these four. Jamaal Charles appears to be a must-start against the Broncos at home. How many touches will Larry Johnson get versus Detroit if Cedric Benson is back? I figure he'll still get at least 10 and as many as 14. This is Jeremy talking. Ryan Grant is very consistent but unspectacular and is home versus Baltimore this week. Will he be better than a Larry Johnson who will receive limited touches? And is the disappointing Kevin Smith at Cincinnati an option? If you've got to pick two of those, Jeremy, I go Jamaal Charles and I go Ryan Grant. You can't count on Larry Johnson. I think he'll get a few touches. Don't think 10 to 14 is in his is going to happen as long as Cedric Benson is playing. I think you're going to want to sit Larry Johnson. Kevin Smith, I agree, has been disappointing. There are some weeks where I think you can start him. I don't think this is one against Cincinnati. Cincinnati, third best run defense in the league. Now, Jamaal Charles is the guy for Kansas City these days. And going against Denver, Denver has a middle-of-the-pack run defense. Ryan Grant going against Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore is a very good run defense. But like you said, Ryan Grant, I kind of agree with what you said there. Consistent. Not spectacular. I think Jamaal Charles and Ryan Grant are your options there. Jeremy, at running back, hope you heed that advice and hope it works out for you. Defense, Jeremy says, I'm starting Minnesota against Arizona. Am I wrong for staying with them over Baltimore at Green Bay, even if Kurt Warner plays? No, don't think you're wrong about that. I think, you know, there are some better options out there this week in fantasy, you know, because Arizona is pretty explosive. But, you know, listen, Minnesota's defense is great. Greg Rosenthal has him ranked sixth this week, defense and special teams going against Arizona. And, you know, got Baltimore, got the Ravens defense down at 13 against Green Bay. You know, look, can Arizona's offense torch Minnesota if things go right for them? Yeah, but. You know, you own Minnesota's defense for a reason. You play them every week. I wouldn't worry about it. I'd go with Minnesota. Thanks for your help, and I insist on buying lunch for the PFW guys and yourself if I make the finals. Actually, I'll probably do it anyway. Take care, Jeremy. Jeremy, thank you very much. I'll take lunch any time you want it. The PFW guys don't often share, so I need guys like you to offer to buy us lunch. So that's great. More emails to get to. Todd. Okay. Todd, thought we already got one from Todd. I guess not. Did I confuse emailers? Okay, Todd in Jackson, Wyoming. I think maybe I had a different email there, and maybe I thought it was Todd from Jackson, Wyoming. My bad, Todd. This is the real Todd in Jackson, Wyoming. Sorry if I confused you there. Brian, I've got a few questions for you. The Arrogant Bastards won, keeping me in first place. If I win this week, I get a bye, but if I lose, I could drop down to fourth with a three-way tie for first place, but I'm ahead because of points. All right, here's my roster, and tell me what you think. Quarterback Tony Romo at the G-Men. I dropped Joe Flacco and picked up Vince Young when he made that 99-yard game-winning drive, plus the Titans play St. Louis next week. However, Romo has a history of tailing off in December. I'm a little unsure of this start. Well, if it's Young, boy, that's an interesting one. Young this week with Tennessee playing, who does Tennessee play? Oh, of course, the Colts. Or Tony Romo at the Giants. Tough start there. Tough one there. Romo or Young is actually closer than you probably would think. There's certainly I might say go with the hot hand. I said this about Kenny Britt early in the show. I might go Vince Young. Not sold on Tony Romo this week. I think much better at home at the Giants. Big game for the Giants here. That's an interesting one. I got to think about that one. But I might lean toward Vince Young here. Wide receiver, Larry Fitzgerald against Minnesota, must start, certainly. Kenny Britt at Indy, I also picked up. He also picked up Kenny Britt. I think Britt's a good bet this week against Indy. Mentioned that earlier in the show. Chris Johnson and Rashard Mendenhall, running back. Boy, be going very heavy Tennessee. I don't know if I'd go Vince Young, Kenny Britt, and Chris Johnson, putting all my eggs in one basket, Titans against the undefeated Colts in Indy. Individually, I feel like you could make a case for each one, but, you know, I mean, obviously you start Chris Johnson. That's a no-brainer. I'm not considering benching Chris Johnson. Young and Britt, boy, tough call there. I mean, Indianapolis, 20th-ranked pass defense. Patriots certainly scored against them. Think this through. We got to think this through. Let me not make a hasty decision here, Todd. Tight end Vernon Davis at Seattle. He's having a great year. Scores almost every week. And then wide receiver tight end flex Donnie Avery at Chicago. I know Bulger is out, but I was impressed with Kyle Bowler's performance last week. Well, he spread the ball around better than I thought he would. All right. I mean, doesn't excite me, Donnie Avery, this week. But, you know, Chicago's been pretty lousy, and you might be able to score against them, get a lucky touchdown there. Kicker Ryan Longwell, defense Carolina against Tampa Bay. Do you think I should play the 49ers defense? No, I don't. I think you should play Carolina's defense against Tampa Bay. You know, San Fran against Seattle in Seattle. No question about it. Go Carolina. No question about it. So, on his bench, he's got Joseph Addai, Mike Wallace, JerMichael Finley, Vince Young, 49ers defense, and Titans defense. Picked up the Titan defense. If I lose this week and have to play in the first week of the playoffs because they play the Rams. Fair enough. All right, and then another question here. Dwayne Bowe is available in my league. I know he's not eligible to play till week 15 versus Cleveland. Would you get rid of JerMichael Finley or Mike Wallace? I like Wallace, but he did not catch a pass versus Baltimore, and Aaron Rodgers spreads the ball out so much, it is tough to depend on starting Finley. I do have possible bye weeks coming up and want to set myself up for the playoff weeks, Todd in Jackson, Wyoming. You know, JerMichael Finley is certainly expendable on your team because you have Vernon Davis, but it doesn't hurt to have that second tight end, you know, going into the playoffs. I mean, I think JerMichael Finley's pretty good. Mike Wallace, yeah, I could do without. I mean, he's okay. Certainly if Ben Roethlisberger's not playing, his value drops. You know, Dwayne Bowe, I don't know if Dwayne Bowe's worth stashing on your bench through a suspension. I know it's only a couple more weeks, but, you know, that Kansas City offense, you know, doesn't have a huge, I don't know. Dwayne Bowe, no. No, I wouldn't pick up Dwayne Bowe. If you have a keeper league, maybe, but I wouldn't pick up Dwayne Bowe. Now that I'm thinking about what your other questions were, I feel like you do need to start Kenny Britt, wide receiver, Larry Fitzgerald, and Kenny Britt. But I might just hedge my bet on the Titan passing game and start Romo instead of Young, not have Young, Britt, and Chris Johnson. I think you're putting way too much emphasis on one offense going into a game against an undefeated team. But I think Kenny Britt has good value, and that way you can, you know, sort of hedge your bets a little bit. That's what I think there, Todd. Todd, thank you very much, as always. Todd in Jackson, Wyoming. Webradio at Patriots.com. Webradio at Patriots.com. Couple more emails to get to, but I've got a want to take a look at some stuff from CBSSports.com. Their fantasy news, their fantasy face-offs between Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg, which I find entertaining, informative, and valuable as you're talking about who to start, who to sit. One that stands out to me here is, would you start Alex Smith and Michael Crabtree at Seattle? So putting a lot of emphasis on the San Fran passing game. Here's what Dave Richard says. Have we seen a breakout game from Crabtree yet this season? The answer is no. He's had two games over 60 yards receiving and none over 81 with one touchdown. Sure, he's got a good matchup against the Seahawks, but he hasn't resembled a receiver worthy of a roster spot in standard leagues. Smith is a similar story. He's got two games with three touchdowns and has had some success throwing touchdowns mainly to Vernon Davis. But like Crabtree, his yardage has been modest in all but one game this season. Let's not forget how the Niners have rolled against the Hawks on the ground. Frank Gore had 246 total yards and two touchdowns against them earlier in the year. It shouldn't be hard for owners to plug in someone else at each position this week. Dave Richard said he'd rather start Matt Hasselbeck and Nate Burleson, the Carson Palmer, Chad Ochocinco tandem, and Vince Young, Kenny Britt. That's why it's so interesting. He thinks Vince Young, Kenny Britt is a pretty good tandem, at least better than what San Fran has to offer. Now, Jamie Eisenberg says this. Let's start with Smith, since he's been one of the hottest fantasy options the past 2 weeks. He has five touchdowns and one interception in his past two games, while averaging 23 fantasy points over that span. Faces a Seattle defense that has allowed seven quarterbacks to pass for multiple touchdowns this year, including five of the past six games. I'd be shocked if Smith didn't finish as a number one fantasy quarterback this week. As for Crabtree, the matchup is also in his favor, since the Seahawks have allowed 11 touchdowns to opposing wide receivers in the past five games. So Jamie Eisenberg says go with Alex Smith and Michael Crabtree. Dave Richard says no. Found it interesting because I think Alex Smith, to me, I've had my eye on him as a maybe more than a sleeper option at this point. He's a pretty good start at quarterback if you've got some issues there. Another one here is the Atlanta running back situation. Jarius Norwood or Jason Snelling if Michael Turner is out. Here's what Jamie says. We all know what happened with Snelling last week, and no one feels worse about his performance than I do. And if Michael Turner plays again this week, then you might want to avoid the Atlanta running backs altogether. But if Turner is out and you need one of his backups, then go with Snelling. I would envision Snelling getting the carries on running downs, with Norwood being used as a receiver and change of pace option. Snelling has proven he can be a grinder, while Norwood is the faster running back and better receiver. In a standard league, Snelling should finish with more fantasy points this week. Jamie says he'd go Snelling over guys like Mike Bell of New Orleans, Chris Brown, and also Karell Buckhalter. So very interesting right there. And then what Dave Richard has to say as far as the Atlanta running back situation. After what the Falcons have put us through with their handling of Michael Turner, I'm skeptical to start any rusher from their team, similar to what Jamie said. But with Chris Redmond starting and the Falcons' offensive line beginning to crack, I'll take my chances with Norwood. Snelling has proven himself as a between-the-tackles runner, and that's a tough place to make hay against the Eagles, who play the Falcons in Week 13. Norwood is an outside rusher with excellent hands, and he saw time at the goal line before Snelling did last week against the Bucks. In fact, Snelling might have been in the game when the Falcons were going for the game-winning score last week, but it was more for his blocking than it was for anything else. I wouldn't touch these guys unless you were desperate for a running back, but if that's the case, then the one to trust is Norwood. There you go, the Atlanta running back situation. Certainly one that's in the mix as far as all kinds of intrigue, really, this week. And all the questions are about, will Michael Turner play? That's really what it comes down to. Will Michael Turner play? A couple of other emails right here. Let's bang these out real quick. Paul in London. Paul, always good to hear from you. Hey, Brian and Doc, thanks for the extra help last week. Much appreciated. Lots of start and sit questions this week. Three of my five leagues I'm still in with a chance of getting into the playoffs. So this week is crucial for me. All right, banging these out right here from Paul. Cutler or Romo? I go Tony Romo. Got a guest in the studio. Why not let Nick, our Boston accent guy from last week, jump right in with some thoughts on some of these starting sits? First of all, Nick, how you doing?
What's up, Elo? How you doing?
Nick, did you get a lot of notoriety for your appearance last week?
I kind of did, yeah. A lot of notoriety around my family, friends. They thought I did well.
Yeah, well, thanks.
Did you download the podcast?
I definitely downloaded the podcast.
You were playing it at Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah, Thanksgiving in Nick's household was all revolving around the Fantasy Lowdown. That's really what we're hoping for, really, in every household. So back by popular demand is Nick.
Thank you.
Round of applause, maybe, Jason? You get that up? Anyways, crickets, that's much better. Much more like it. So color of Romo, to me, it definitely Romo. Romo against the Giants, tough matchup in New York, but I think it's Romo definitely over Cutler.
Who's Cutler playing?
Cutler is playing. Chicago plays. Who does Chicago play? That's probably pertinent. The Rams.
The Rams. I think you got to go with Cutler there. I mean, Romo going against the Giants.
Even the Rams
Giants
are going to pick
off
Cutler.
Struggling, but, I mean, come on, Cutler against the Rams?
Even the Rams are going to pick off Cutler.
You really think?
Yeah, he's going to have more interceptions than Romo this week.
Oh, I don't agree with
that. Yeah, I think he's going to have more interceptions than Romo.
I got to stick with my guy from my Yahoo Fantasy League. I think you go with Cutler against the Rams.
No? I don't agree. I think Cutler's that bad these days. I don't think it's... give me Romo. And I'm not even high
Romo
on Romo.
Bounced back. He bounced back well last week against Oakland. So.
And I'm not even high on Romo in general or this week, but I'm that down on Jay Cutler. Fred Jackson or Jamal Charles? To me, it's Charles against Denver. Fred Jackson tonight against the Jets. I mean, I think this is close to a toss-up. I'll give the edge to Charles. I think, Nick, you're big on Charles, too,
I'm
right?
huge on Charles. Yeah. I really like him. I mean, he's been getting me 20 points plus last 3 weeks fantasy-wise. I mean, I do get kick returns in my league. I might want to say that, and it definitely helps when you get in the kick returns. So that's why I'm probably getting the 20 points. But I think he'll get you a good 10 to 15 points this week. He's a good back, can make the catches out of the backfield, pick you up some yards receiving as well as rushing. And then if you do have kick returns, it's also that's also a plus. So.
No question. Santana Moss or Steve Smith of Carolina? It's Steve Smith against Tampa Bay. This week. Now, Steve Smith, I think he's better with Matt Moore, and I've read some stuff about this. Better with Matt Moore, quarterback, than Jake Delhomme, I think.
I mean, Matt Moore, complete unknown to me. I don't even know who this guy
is.
Well,
he played a couple years ago. He jumped in there a little bit.
So I think you go with Steve Smith.
Get out of the studio.
Really?
Get out of here.
Get out
You don't
of
know him? Matt Moore?
Don't no, know Matt Moore.
I like Steve Smith instead of Moss. Okay, three from the following four. Lawrence Maroney, Jamal Charles, Darren Sproles, Felix Jones. I think you go Maroney. He's on, you know, I don't think it's going to be a huge game for Maroney this week, but they're giving the ball in the goal line. And I think that tide could turn a little bit with Sammy Morris, but I still think this week Maroney will get the bulk of the carries. I like Maroney, like Jamal Charles. Then it's between Sproles and Felix Jones. I said this earlier, with those Dallas running backs and the Dallas plays the Giants, these guys are almost all of them getting the mix every week.
It's tough because they're really giving out carries to a lot of their backs. You got Tashard Choice, you got Felix Jones, you got Marion the Barbarian there. It's definitely tough. You don't maybe you can expect 5 to 10 touches tops from Felix Jones. So maybe you go with Sproles. He's only gotta get carries from LaDainian Tomlinson.
And they're playing Cleveland.
They're playing Cleveland.
Going to run the ball. I think that's a good matchup right there.
Should be a good matchup.
I know I'm a little hypocritical here saying that Cutler, I don't like Cutler in the St. Louis matchup, but I think Cutler is going to throw picks. He's going to throw picks. O.J. Atogwe will have at least two interceptions.
O.J. Atogwe.
He himself will have two of Cutler's four.
He's a pretty big
He will have two of Cutler's four. He'll have two of Cutler's four interceptions.
You think he's going to throw four interceptions against the Rams?
Four.
I just don't see that happening.
Four.
Come on, Johnny Knox.
Oh, listen, just because a quarterback throws interceptions doesn't mean he's not going to throw some yardage and touchdowns. Johnny Knox might get a touchdown. Four interceptions. Austin Collie.
300 yards, three touchdown passes from Jay Cutler this week against
St.
And
no picks?
Maybe one. One
Maybe
pick.
One.
I'm saying
one pick.
One pick.
All right, Austin Collie or T.O., no question about it, T.O. He's had two big weeks in a row, likes Ryan Fitzpatrick, playing tonight. Austin Collie, not quite as much in the mix these days. I like T.O.
I don't know, though. He's going up against Darrell Revis. Revis played very well against Moss both games.
We did just have an article. We were just talking about that. Revis has shut down a lot. But I don't think Austin Collie, I don't think you can really start Austin Collie.
Yeah, I think, I mean, out of those two, you probably do.
Right, between
do
those
start
two.
Charles. Collie's kind of is becoming the fourth wide receiver in Indy. Garcon becoming a favorite of Manning's out of the slot position there. So he's almost becoming the third wide receiver there. So you can't expect Collie to get too many touches. But it is the Indianapolis Colts wide receivers. Manning does spread the ball around. So, I mean, maybe you do start Collie, but T.O., he's proven.
I like T.O.
He likes Fitzpatrick, played well last week, so, yeah, go with T.O.
Rock Cartwright or Felix Jones? Really interesting one here because Rock Cartwright's getting the rock. Felix Jones, we were just talking about, with Dallas. I mean, this one's a toss-by. I think if you, Rock Cartwright's probably going to get more touches, but Felix Jones just seems to have more of a breakout ability, and it's more risk reward with Felix Jones. Whereas Rock Cartwright, you might get your 15 carries this weekend, Washington going up against
New Orleans,
interesting matchup there. I'd probably lean toward Felix Jones.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's another tough one. Rock Cartwright, though, is starting. New Orleans, I mean, they played well against the Patriots last week. Their defense did so. I think you might go with Rock Cartwright there because he is starting. Felix Jones, like you said before, he's splitting a lot of carries. Rock Cartwright, he's kind of the last guy left in that Washington backfield, pretty banged up. So.
Right. Okay, a couple more. Donovan McNabb or Brett Favre? So it's Philadelphia. Philadelphia against, boy, I should have these down pat. Oh, against Atlanta. And then Minnesota's playing.
Minnesota at Arizona.
At Arizona. So, I'd probably go Favre. I mean, he's just been doing that well and has thrown only three interceptions. Probably can't go wrong in either case. Falcons have done well at home. Their pass defense is pretty poor. So I don't know. That's a toss-up one, I think.
It really is. I mean, you can't really know what to expect. Arizona, Atlanta, pretty good defenses, kind of middle of the road. McNabb and Favre could put up big numbers. Minnesota's having the better season, though, over in the NFC. So I think you got to go with Minnesota, a little bit more weapons on offense than Philly. And I also think that DeSean Jackson is a little bit banged up this week.
Probably not going to play.
Highly unlikely that he's not going to play. So, yeah, I'd say go with Favre in that case.
All right. Flex out of these three. Braylon Edwards tonight against Buffalo, Malcolm Floyd against Cleveland, or Fred Davis, Washington against New Orleans.
Fred Davis had a huge week last week against Philadelphia. I remember I picked Brent Celek on air when I was with you on air, and I kind of regretted that decision because, you know, Fred Davis had a pretty big week. Who are the other two?
Well, Braylon Edwards and Malcolm Floyd. I go Malcolm Floyd. I think Braylon Edwards, I don't know, not getting it done for me.
No, Braylon Edwards, terrible. I really don't like that guy.
I think Malcolm Floyd, he's got the better quarterback going, Phillip Rivers. They're probably going to end up being able to run the ball against Cleveland a lot, but I think early on maybe they pass it a little bit. He can take advantage.
Yeah, definitely. I'd go with Malcolm Floyd. Big wide receiver, can go up and get the ball. You got Phillip Rivers, like you said, throwing him the ball, so definitely go with Malcolm Floyd.
And finally, Jamal Charles or Kevin Smith, I think we both agree.
Jamal Charles.
We've talked about these guys. That's all good. Paul London, thank you very much. Get a little double dip action there on the comments. We've got a few more emails as we hit the home stretch here. Brian Lowe here on the Fantasy Lowdown. Nick, our guest star.
Thank you.
I shouldn't say that. Guest star. Oh, we see the Junior Seau's show on the TV behind you. I just saw his sports job show. Okay, next one, Joshua in California. Hey, Brian, just released Jason Snelling, and I'm short a running back. Pick one of these options. Justin Forsett, Mike Bell, Carell Buckhalter, or Bernard Scott? Really, no question to me. It's Justin Forsett. Mike Bell, I think he's been banged up, and I think I just saw a note very recently on Mike Bell that he has been hobbled, I think, at practice. And then Carell Buckhalter, sharing carries there with Sean Moreno, and Bernard Scott, he's hurt, and he's probably not really going to be much of an option with Cedric Benson looking like he's coming back and Larry Johnson having a good debut. I think Justin Forsett coming off a big game is your guy if you need a guy right now this week.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. He was one of my sleeper picks last week in Forsett, and he did have a huge game, and it ended up biting me in the end because the person I played against in one of my leagues had Forsett, ended up being the difference in the matchup. Going up against San Francisco, pretty good run defense, but you got to like Seattle at home in that game. San Francisco kind of up and down this year, Seattle as well. But with Forsett healthy, going against San Francisco's defense. I kind of like that matchup.
Next one, I've lost faith in TJ Houshmandzadeh, and I'm going to release him. I'm also going to release Chris Chambers. My question for you is, out of these wide receivers, who should I pick up? Pick two of them. Top choices are Donnie Avery, Pierre Garçon, Steve Breaston, Miles Austin, Devery Henderson, or Antonio Bryant. Okay, my thoughts on Chris Chambers are, I'm wildly surprised at how much success he's had early on in Kansas City. Don't think it's going to last. I think it's a smart move to release Chris Chambers. TJ Houshmandzadeh, I agree. I have him on one of my teams. Not getting it done. He's one of those. It'd be tough to cut. But I'll tell you what, you got some appealing options
he's
there.
He's saying Miles Austin.
Miles
is available?
Austin available. I mean, you definitely cut Houshmandzadeh if you can get Miles Austin. I think Pierre Garçon being available. Yeah. That's big too. I think you go Pierre Garçon.
Who's your mama?
There you go. I think you go Garçon and Austin. If you cut those two guys, I certainly would do that. I think Donnie Avery has some appeal. I think all these guys have some appeal. You know, Steve Breaston, third guy in Arizona, but he's had some big games. Devery Henderson, we saw what any of these New Orleans guys can do on any given night. But Miles Austin, Pierre Garçon, those are the top two right there.
I think that's a no-brainer there.
In fact, when I look at my rankings here from Greg Rosenthal, Miles Austin's the top 10 wide receiver this week out of everybody. Forget about guys who are available. I mean, he's in the top 10, and then Pierre Garçon's 23. No brainer there.
Austin's having a pretty good year. I'm shocked that he's available in that league.
Yeah, you go with that. And finally, I currently have Benjamin Watson and JerMichael Finley at tight end. Should I start one of those guys or pick up someone else? My top choices are Heath Miller, Mercedes Lewis, John Carlson, or Anthony Fasano. You know what? All six of those guys you mentioned are sort of interchangeable. I mean, you know, Benjamin Watson, yeah, on any given week he could score a touchdown. I think JerMichael Finley is probably your best bet out of all of those. Probably, but, you know, going against Baltimore, not so sure. Heath Miller against Oakland is kind of an interesting option, depending on who the quarterback is for Pittsburgh. And actually, Anthony Fasano has had some good games against the Patriots in the past. I'd probably go Finley among all those.
Heath Miller killed me last week. Didn't even get me any points. But
yeah,
I think when you look at the matchup, you go with Heath Miller. I mean, you got Green Bay going against Baltimore. That's a tough matchup. Like Bilo said, Ben Watson, never know what to expect from him. He had some opportunities last week to make some pretty big plays. Let one slip right by his hands, hit him in the face mask. I don't know what to expect from that guy anymore. So I think you go with Heath Miller.
I've been saying this all year. Tight end, it's a really intriguing position this year. It's just that from, you know, 4 to 15, they're virtually interchangeable.
Complete toss-up after Dallas Clark, Antonio Gates, and who's the other guy?
Vernon Davis, huge year.
Yeah,
and I think Tony Gonzalez, I think I still kind of consider him up there. But these guys are interchangeable. It's deep, but they're interchangeable. Okay, thank you, Josh, for that email. Next, James in Wales. James, always good to hear from you. Hey, B-Low, thanks for the advice 2 weeks ago. It helped me move into playoff contention in one of the five leagues I'm in. See, we're changing lives here now. We are changing lives.
You got to give respect to the guy who started our league, too.
Well, absolutely. Who's that? No, I'm just kidding.
James in Wales.
I'm kidding, Jason. I also picked up Cincy's D based on your advice, but that's not really paid off as well. Who day? It's an interesting point. I want to say I was ahead of the curve on the Cincinnati D like 5-6 weeks ago because of this stretch: Detroit, Cleveland, Oakland.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Yeah, you know, it hasn't quite lived up to its billing. I think this week against Detroit will be all right.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
You think?
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Hey, Jason, we only have 3.5 minutes there. I got a couple more emails, you know, for me to show how not bright I am. Have some advice again, but seeing as I'm playing against you, I'd understand if you didn't want to help me. Thinking that Tennessee may give Indy a tough time this weekend, so thinking of benching Peyton Manning and starting Carson Palmer, who's playing the Lions. What do you think?
Carson Palmer really didn't do much for me against Cleveland last week. You got to think he's going to put up some numbers against Detroit. I mean, they basically, whoever goes against Detroit puts up big numbers week to week.
But you cannot bench Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning, you're going to bench him, especially play. You're trying to make the playoffs.
Here's my theory on that. If you bench Peyton Manning for anyone and Peyton Manning has a Peyton Manning game, which is probably 3 or 4 touchdowns and 300 yards,
absolutely,
and you lose, how are you going to live with that? You're not going to live
baby?
With that.
How you doing? Good. You?
Don't bench Peyton Manning. Also, in a league not featuring a
Short Ox! Richmond, Florida, Buffalo!
You got all
Short
your Peytons queued
Richmond,
up there, huh?
Florida, Buffalo!
Also, in a league not featuring a B-Low versus James and Wales matchup, which is coming up this week, who do you think I should go for in my second wide receiver spot, Andre Caldwell or Braylon Edwards? Can you skip? Can you
is there anybody else available? You know,
I guess there's a chance one of those guys will get more than a goose egg. I'm not optimistic. I guess Andre Caldwell because of that matchup against Detroit. You know, you're talking about Carson Palmer. You know, I go Andre Caldwell. Don't like Braylon Edwards tonight. James Enns, I'm coming over next week for the Panthers game, so hopefully get a chance to say hello again and thank you in person and hopefully gloat about my victory. Thanks again, James and Wales. We'll see about that, James.
Hello.
We will see about that. All right, final email here. Hi, below. I finally worked my way into the wild card spot in my league, but without much cushioning, I've got an easier opponent this week, but play the best team in the league next week, so I really have to make both games count. Right now, I have D'Angelo Williams as my number one running back. I picked up Sammy Morris off waivers and have both he and Lawrence Maroney versus Miami, or also have Felix Jones and Deshard Choice versus the Giants. Who would you favor as a second running back in this one? Well, you know, and keep in mind, D'Angelo Williams is a little banged up, and he's had some quiet weeks recently, but you got to start him. So among Sammy Morris, Lawrence Maroney, Felix Jones, Deshard Choice, Nick, what do you think?
I like Lawrence Maroney. He's having a pretty big last few weeks, you know, six straight touchdowns. I mean, even if he only gets you 30 to 40 yards rushing on the ground, you got to think that Patriots get inside the 5-yard line, high-powered offense. They're going to give it to Maroney because of his production from inside the goal line area. I mean, Sammy Morris, don't know really what to expect from him. He's coming off an injury. Didn't do too much against the Saints. Maroney was running hard against them. And then, once again, it's a toss-up with Dallas. I mean, you can take any of those running backs. Any of them could have a big week.
Hey, this is Lawrence Maroney, a.k.a. Kool-Aid, a.k.a. L-Dot, a.k.a. L-Train. Step your game up, player.
He has almost as many nicknames as touchdowns. I don't think you can start Sammy Morris yet. I mean, I think in these final five games, there may be a point where Sammy Morris is startable. Not yet. So definitely Maroney over Morris. And I think I agree with you, Maroney over Jones or Choice. But it's weird. Jones and Choice, I really kind of feel comfortable starting any of them. I feel like any of them could have a big breakout game. Real quick, I'm starting Vince Young versus the Colts over Jay Cutler versus the Rams. I like that because Cutler has just burnt me too many times. I like Young.
I like Young in that matchup. Well, Young like actually Young. Came up huge for me last week. I picked him up in one of my leagues. He got me like 17 points in that last drive of the game is what really got me a majority, probably 8 of the points that he got from the week came from that last drive. You got to think that he's primed and ready to go against Peyton Manning and the Colts in Indianapolis. You like the way he's playing. He's a proven winner. Great track record. Great overall record as a starter. Go with Vince Young.
At wide receiver, I've got a choice of Miles Austin versus the Giants, Michael Crabtree versus the Seahawks, or Mike Sims-Walker versus the Panthers. Which two would you pick? Very tough choices there, I think. Very tough choices. I'd probably say Miles Austin, you got to start. I think Sims-Walker, you got to start. I'd say Crabtree, you know, we talked a little bit about Crabtree earlier on. He's had some decent games, no huge games. Still a rookie on the road. I'd probably go Miles Austin and Sims Walker of those three.
Yeah, Miles Austin, Sims Walker. Sims Walker, a guy I'm really high on. I think he's the best wide receiver they've had in Jacksonville since McCardell and Smith. Go with Sims Walker, definitely. Miles Austin, I think it's a no-brainer. You start him.
That's Harry in Las Vegas. Harry, thank you for your emails. Thank everybody for their emails. It was a big week for emails. Hopefully I gave you some good insight. Nick, thanks for stopping by again. You know what? Maybe we'll even do this again.
You know what?
Maybe
I like
will.
It. I like the
maybe you
the
can bring him in for
coming.
A full hour.
Oh, Jason, let's not go overboard
yeah,
here.
Let's not go overboard.
Let's not go overboard here. We'll ease him in. 10, 12 minutes today, maybe 20 another time. Maybe throw him a curveball and say, hey, we don't need you this week.
Big time.
Anyway, this is the Fantasy Lowdown. Every Thursday from 4 to 5, get your lineups ready for tonight's game. Jets, Bills in just about 3 hours. Send me your email anytime during the week while you're watching games on Sunday. We'll get to it next Thursday. Right here on Patriots.com, the Fantasy Lowdown.